What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated Podcast. On this episode, I got a chance to sit down and chat with Jake Venables, who plays football over at Clemson. Before I get into the details of the episode, I want to remind all you guys that the Patreon page is up and running. Great way to support the podcast. There's a bunch of loyalty rewards that you get and programming and a bunch of extras. If you don't want to do that, if you could rate, subscribe, like, share, all of that helps the podcast grow. And if you don't want to do any of that stuff and you just want to sit there and listen, that's cool too. And I appreciate you guys. This shit will always be free because I enjoy doing it. As far as this episode is concerned, Jake is an incredibly soft-spoken, but you can tell intense individual who obviously wants to get very good at his craft. He's very motivated. We talk about what motivates him, his training, what it's like playing at such a big school, what it's like playing in huge bowl games and all that stuff. Very interesting guy, very disciplined and super humble. So it was great talking to him. I don't want to give anything else away. This is episode 107 of the TWC Stay Hated Podcast. Enjoy it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated Podcast. On this episode, I am joined by Jake Venables. He is a linebacker at Clemson. We kind of met briefly on the internet, had a quick exchange, and I said, I need to get this guy on the show. He's a high-level athlete, and people who know me know that I'm not particularly a big like sports guy, but I love people who have passion about what they're fucking doing, and there's no way you can get to that level without being passionate and really giving it your all. So I wanted to have him on the show and talk about all that stuff. So Jake, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So first of all, you know, thanks for being on and all that stuff. And secondly, like, stoked to see that like sporting events are happening again. I'm sure you're excited too. And I just like, I like saying that because I know that a lot of people had their whole like life put on hold, like with school and everything like that. So I'm really happy to see everybody's like getting back to some normalcy here. So let's start with some easy questions. So how old are you now? And when did you start playing like football? When did your journey start with all that?
So I'm 21 now. This is my fourth year in school at Clemson. I'm a redshirt junior, so I have two more years if I wanted, but I think I might just do a fifth year next year. I started playing when I was 5 years old. Grew up in Oklahoma, like 15 minutes south of Oklahoma City, down in Norman, where the University of Oklahoma is. So I spent the first 12 years of my life over there. It's been great. Football's been a huge part of my life, and it's something I love to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, man, that sport is so – it's like as close you can get to a combat sport without it being a fucking combat sport. It's right, like it's violent and it's jarring and, like, you know, there's lots of contact. So coming up as a kid, like, did you know – like, are you one of the people who knew you could play at a high level early on, or were you kind of like a thumper that kind of turned into a late bloomer? Or how did that all work? Because I know that, you know, for playing football, it's kind of a little more of like a direct line. I have a hockey background, so there's like junior hockey, and there's all this stuff you can do between like high school and college and pro and all this shit. But with football, it seems to be a little more of a direct line. Did you know that you were a stud? Like, did you know you could go to the next level, or when did you kind of realize that you could really fucking play?
I would probably say back when I was playing peewee ball, like 7 or 8 years old, when I'm playing all kinds of positions. Okay. I'm playing quarterback, running back, all positions on defense. And then as far as the thumping part, I kind of knew that defense was what I was destined to do, was when playing peewee ball and I'm hitting kids and I'm like, damn, I kind of like this. It's something I like to do.
Yeah, I think there's like, you know, I'm a, you know, I played goalie for ice hockey, you know, coming up and everything, and in college and stuff. And I think like playing defense in any sport, you have to have like this sort of a, there's like a sense of pride that comes along with that. It's not, right. It's not a flashy thing, and you can kind of be like unsung heroes. So do you come from like a, you know, coming up, did your parents really instill that in you, taking pride in what you're doing, or where did you learn that value? Because it's like, you're not going to, it doesn't seem from the outside that it would be as fun playing on the defensive side of the ball. You have to really love it. But where do you think that came from for you?
Probably coming from my dad. I grew up, my dad had, you know, he helped out coaching Little League and stuff like that. And I've actually got the opportunity to play for him here. He's one of our coaches on our staff. Oh. So it's been a unique experience, that's for sure. But it's definitely from him.
Yeah. So playing there. So your old man is one of the coaches at Clemson right now. Like you're playing for him. Oh, that's cool, man. And so I actually played for my old man in several different situations. And it is an interesting dynamic. it can get, I'm sure it can get a little funky at that. Has he always kind of coached you when you were coming up? Like, are you used to having him in that role?
Yeah. I think when he was, one of my primary coaches was when I was 7, 6 years old playing flag football, in the spring. That was when he was one of my full-time coaches for the first time. But other times I'd have another coach, but then I'm always going home and he's telling me some things I can do better here. And I'm asking him for tips on what he think I should do and stuff like that.
Does that turn it? Is that not to get too much into the weeds here, but is that like, is there moments of tension with that growing up where, you know, not everybody is, you know, not everybody's as fortunate or you could maybe say unfortunate or whatever to have a parent who's really knowledgeable about their sport, you know, in your teen years and stuff when you're, you know, not everybody loves their parents when they're in high school and shit. Like, was that like a weird dynamic to have your old man like giving you advice or were you always receptive to that? Are you the type of person that's just like a sponge from day one?
I think I was a little kind of on the defensive side when I was younger. I didn't really like him. Cutting in, and I'm like I listen to my coach. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, and all this other stuff. But as I got older, I kind of realized, you know, he kind of knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I would assume so. If he's coaching over there, that's really awesome, man. So as far as like, you know, your playing experience and all that stuff, like right now, are you seeing a decent amount of time over there? Like, what's your situation like on the team now? Like, do you? Are you an impact player? Are you a practice? Like, how does that all work for you? And like, cause I figure the roster's pretty deep. Do you see a good amount of minutes or how's that work out for you?
Yeah. So, I redshirted when I first got to school. So I sat out, sure. That was in 2018. So I was in power hour. So that was not going to any of the film meetings or anything like that, but we'd go into the weight room for right before practice and we'd lift every day. And, I was on the scout team my first year, and then I saw a good bit of reps in 2019, my second year. And you've got to play in the national championship game against LSU. That was a fun experience itself. But so then last year was my third year, and I played a good bit. I started 4 or 5 games. I had, I think, like 400 total snaps on the season, something like that. And I broke my radius on my arm late in the year against Virginia Tech. It was in December. So I missed the rest of the year postseason-wise and then hurt my groin in mat drills, which is our winter conditioning stuff right before spring training. And then I've just kind of been battling injuries ever since. I pulled my hamstring 7 or 8 times. I just got over one of them a couple weeks ago. So but I'm still battling. I'm feeling good right now. So last couple of weeks I've been healthy. So hopefully as the season transitions and gets moving here a little bit, I'll get back on the field more.
Yeah. So speak on those injuries, man. I know that like I said, you know, earlier, it's like pretty violent, fast, aggressive sport. I'm sure as the years progress, you kind of have those injuries tack on. What's that like? How did you break your arm? Was that on the field, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it was we were playing Virginia Tech. It was like freezing cold outside. It was a goal line play. And I play Mike Backer, so I was on the goal line. I'm tightened down. I'm ready to shoot my gap and build a wall. And sure enough, my gap opened up and I spiked it to go just throw my body in there so the back can't run in there. And I ripped my arm up to kind of get the guard's hands off of me. And I guess I hit his knee or his knee brace or something like that. And I felt it as kind of a jolt, I guess. But I was like, damn, that's going to be a pretty good bruise. I didn't think I broke it or anything. And I come back over to the sideline and I couldn't make a fist with my hand. And I just thought it was because it was cold outside and I got a little stinger or something. So I didn't think anything of it. I did a kick, did a kickoff and two more plays on D and I hit it again. I was like, oh shit, dude, like something's not right. I got to get this looked at.
Oh my God. So was it a full fracture or like how serious was it?
Yeah, I snapped it clean in half. Had to get surgery like 3 days shit. Later. So I've got a pretty nasty scar going half, like basically up my entire forearm. But I've got 9 screws that'll be in there for good.
Holy shit, man. Yeah, that's it's always impressive to me, like what the human body can go through. And you're thinking you bruised your arm and you broke a fucking bone. That's like insane. That's insane to me. So what was the recovery time like for that? You said you had to get surgery. Was it like, you know, was it a big extensive like rehab coming back to being able to play?
Yeah, I would say the rehab probably took like a month or two. The original plan, since it was so late in the season, was to have the surgery and then do as much rehab as I could. And if we were to play in the championship game, I'd put like a club on it and I'd do some special teams, run down on kickoff or something like that, or just do what I can to help. But so that was the plan, but it didn't end that way. It led into probably the first couple weeks of our spring practice. I was out there with a club on, still having some wrist pain today, but it's nothing serious or anything like that. But everything's feeling good other than that.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's like I said, man, that shit's incredible. And with a sport like that where it's like you're just constantly like contact, it's crazy to have that happen and come back so quick. So you spoke on playing in some of these bowl games and these big games. Like, what's that like? I had another football player on that plays at, Penn State, or was it Penn State? Yeah. Anyway, I'm an asshole for not remembering, but, and I asked him the same thing. Like, did you have, you know, when you were coming up playing high school and stuff, were there big crowds there and transitioning to like a big school, like there's just sea of fucking people at these games. Did you have like an oh shit moment when you first started playing in front of those big crowds? And like, if so, like what was that like when you kind of came to that realization?
Yeah, I think my first oh shit moment was in the national championship game back in 2019. So I had already seen the field a good bit. And I go into every game preparing like I'm the starter. So I haven't been starting the last few years. There's a guy in front of me. This is his 6th year. He used his COVID year last year. And he's been great. I've learned so much from him, and he's a great leader. And I love everything about him. But the championship game, he had a targeting call late in the fourth quarter, or it was like the beginning of the fourth quarter. So he got ejected from the game, and I didn't think anything of it. It was just like, I don't know, just routine. It just felt like practice. But it was the national championship game. The realization didn't hit me until I got on the field and I look, and me and Joe Burrow are locking eyes, and I'm like, shit, I'm in the championship game. I got, you know what? Like, you got to strap it up.
Yeah, that's insane. Is it like loud on the, like, is it like with all those people, is it crazy loud on the field, or are you like a sort of guy that's like real dialed in where you're not really hearing the crowd and all that?
I think it varies. It goes both ways. Most of the time I'm dialed in, but at the same time, I've got to set the front with our defensive line, and I got to tell them the call and what we got to do. And it's hard as hell when it is 90,000 people in there screaming at the top of their lungs and they can't hear me and I'm up in their ear. But right. Most of the time, I mean, it's not really a factor, but when we can work through it, but it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, it's like a blessing and a curse because it's awesome that there's all these people watching you play, but it's also like, hey, I'm trying to get some information from my guys yeah. here. It's really crazy. I'm in Columbus, so I have a bunch of friends who are like OSU fans. So I sit around and watch, and I'm always like blown away by like just the amount of fucking people that go to these games. What's it like for you on campus? Like, does everyone there like kind of know who you are? Like, how does that whole thing work? Like, would go into class? Are you generally in classes with like mostly like other football players, or like, are you a stud on campus, or how's that? How's like school life with that stuff? Like being a part of, you know, the big football team.
I'm not, I don't think I'm really anybody walking around on campus, but,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I go to the bus. I got, two classes a day. I think I got one or two teammates in each class. So, and there's only 30 people in each class. So it's nothing too serious or anything like that. And everybody's really, you know, no one likes to, if we have a bad game, no one's in class talking shit or anything like that. It's everything's laid back. Campus life's good for sure.
Cool, man. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting to me too, with, particularly with football players. And I found the same thing with hockey players where, guys are just like so humble and so like team oriented where, you're obviously a powerlifter now. So the team aspect kind of goes out the window. It's kind of more of a singular sport, even though you have a team around you. That it's really cool, man. Like you probably don't even think of it at this point, because it's just, you know, how you've been, but like you talking about the guy who's like started in front of you in such a positive manner, is really fucking cool to hear, because there is definitely a culture of people who just like, if someone's getting something they're not, they're fucking salty about it, and they want to say negative things about that person. But the first thing you said is what a great guy he is and a great leader and how much you learned from him. Can you kind of speak on that with football culture, where it seems like it's definitely like the teams who operate more like a family unit seem to be the most successful. Can you kind of speak on what you've experienced with that in football, like as a whole?
Yeah, no doubt. I think everybody on the team is really, no one really holds any grudges against other people if they're getting more playing time or anything like that. Everybody is rooting for each other. And if you're not taking a rep at practice, then you're taking a mental rep and you're watching the guy in front of you that's going, and you're trying to do, you're trying to run the play in your head before it's ran. And then you're asking them questions when they come off the field. I don't know. I feel like most of it is just me just trying to soak in as much as I can from the guys that have more experience than I would.
Sure. Yeah. And do you think that that's like, with football culture growing up and everything, is that something that you're kind of taught? Like, hey, dude, like pay attention to people who are, you know, maybe better than you, more experienced, whatever. Or is that something that maybe your old man taught you? Like, where does that come from? Because that's like, you know, that's a learned behavior. You know, most people automatically go to, you know, jealousy or whatever. Is that something that just kind of you were taught throughout the years playing sports and playing football?
Yeah, I'd say that comes from my dad too. I know not everybody, not all athletes are taught to, you know, a lot of kids are pissed off that they're not on the field or, you know, stuff like that. So I think most of it comes from him just teaching, you know, all reps are good reps. So just learning as much as I can from him and whoever else is on the field, even if they're guys that are behind me, trying to help them out and answer their questions when they have some. But I'd say it comes from him, my dad, for sure.
I love that, dude. Like I really love hearing about guys who have good relationships with their parents and can say like, yeah, he taught me this or they taught me this or whatever. It's really, cause to me, like I have that relationship with my old man too, where, he taught me like how to act in those situations and how it's like, you can take something. It's like, I might not be playing, but I can learn from the guy who is playing. While still be, I got to assume like you're still very competitive. Like if you're going against that guy in a drill, you're going to want to fucking beat him. You're going to want to be the best.
For sure.
I think that that's like, yeah, I can hear it in your voice. You're like, yeah, no shit, dude. Like, of course, like I love that the competitive nature and that sort of like, I'm your friend, but I want to beat you as bad as you want to beat me. So let's talk about like a game day for you. So, kind of, can you walk me through that? It's a long fucking game. It's very like you're in, you're out, you're hot, you're cold, you're playing, you're not, and all that. As far as like your level of intensity, are you the sort of guy who's smashing a pre-workout before and getting crazy and jumping around listening to music? Are you more of a mellow guy? And how do you sort of manage that throughout the game?
Yeah. So I usually during the week try to make practice reps like I would in the game, make them game reps. And then I don't know what it is, but game day always has this different edge to it. And when I wake up on Saturday morning, I'm waking up pissed off for whatever reason. I can't help it. But yeah, I love blaring some metal music before the games and just to set the tone and get my mind right, get to where I need to be. And then when it's that first kickoff, I'm ready to rip someone's heart out.
I love that, dude. That is like, you sound like such a like a mild mannered dude, and I just like love that, like flip the fucking switch, like I'm a good guy and whatever, but at the end of the day, like I want to fucking win and I want to be competitive. That's awesome, dude. So I know, like, you know, we kind of went back and forth when we were scheduling this, and you said, you know, you're busy all day, like, you know, it's basically a full-time job if you're doing this sort of thing. Can you kind of like walk me through like a day in the life of playing at that level, you know, maybe like in season or whatever, if it, you know, game week or week before game or whatever. Can you kind of walk me through like what a couple days looks like for you and maybe like what you're eating or training or all that?
Right. Yeah. So on a usual game week, we go Monday through Thursday where we're doing intense practices. Mondays in shorts, Thursday's going to be in shorts, and they're both shorter practices just to kind of get the game plan down and polish things up a little bit. Tuesday and Wednesday are our intense days, full pads. We're hitting each other, doing all our drills, team reps, 7-on-7 stuff, all of that good stuff. But, we train in the weight room Monday and Wednesdays in the morning, and then we all go to class and we come back in and watch film on our own, and then we start our meetings at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then we watch film for 2-3 hours and we hit the practice field after that, and usually getting home around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And then Fridays are our walkthrough days, so we're in the stadium for probably 30 minutes just to kind of finalize things. And then we go and we put a suit on and we head over to our hotel. It's like 30 minutes from Clemson. And we'll go see a movie that night just to kind of bring the team together. And then we wake up, it's game day, and we got one or two more meetings before kickoff. And then we're on.
Cool. Did you say you go to a hotel half an hour away?
Yeah, so, we do so that.
Do you guys like stay? You guys stay off campus the night before games?
Yeah. So we drive. I think it's 20-25 minutes out to a smaller town, Anderson, which is not too far from here. And I don't know. I guess it's a good way for everyone to escape distractions and just to be around nobody but the team.
Fuck yeah, dude! That's so cool. I've heard of like. You know, there's different like semi-pro hockey leagues and stuff over in Europe that do that, where they kind of like sequester guys before games, and they're all kind of like, you know, tucked away in these hotel type things where it's just a team. I never really heard of that before. with college sports. That's awesome. Do you like that? Does that give you a sense, like, with the team, are you guys real close? Does that, do you think that helps you, like, personally get ready for a game?
Yeah, for sure. I think that just the routine of it, of the whole thing, from the walkthrough in the stadium to putting the suit on and getting on the bus and that bus ride over there, and just the time with my teammates, eating dinner together, and then going to see a movie. I like it all until we have a night game at home and we're in that hotel all day long and there's not shit else to do except yeah. sit there. But yeah, because I'm ready to wake up and go play.
Sure. So you'd rather have the early game than the late game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, a 12 or a 3:30 game is right up my alley.
Yeah, so you're not sitting there chewing your fucking teeth, getting ready to run somebody over. So as far as like off season stuff, or when it comes to like training and stuff like that, do you have a pretty strict regiment with getting in the weight room and lifting weights and trying to get bigger, or how does that work for you? I know some guys, when they come off of the season, they want to just fucking chill for a little bit. They don't necessarily worry about getting into shape right off rip. Are you the type of guy that's just like go, go, go 12 months a year? And when you are training in the off season, what's that look like? Maybe like what's your split or whatever?
Yeah. I'm definitely the guy that's trying to get on a record boards for bench squat and cleans and stuff like that. I'm definitely 12 months around training, ready to get ready for the next season or whatever it is, if it's spring practice or whatnot. But
so you enjoy lifting weights?
Oh, I love it. It's probably my favorite thing. I'm wanting to get into the strength and conditioning coaching wise when I'm done playing.
Oh, excellent, excellent. That's the plan.
Yeah, I would love to do that. That's 100% the plan.
What are your numbers like? You look like a big guy. It's hard to tell. So like how big are you? What's your body weight and all that? And what are your numbers for your lifts in the gym?
Yeah, probably nothing like what you see up there. That's for sure. But I'm about 6'2", 240 pounds.
Okay.
I just got my squat right up to 600 this last summer.
Awesome.
So that's that. I'm borderline 405 on the bench. I'm still right around the 390, 395 range. And deadlift is right up around 585.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, like, for somebody who's built like that, that's those numbers are respectable, bro. Like, those are nothing to shake a stick at. Most guys are never touching a 600-pound squat who are – you know, where lifting is their secondary thing as opposed to their primary thing. So that's pretty impressive. Are your coaches or your old man and all that, do they give you like stuff to do in the off season as far as training, or they kind of just say like, you better have your ass in shape when you come back here in the fall?
Yeah, I think that where the coaches are kind of telling us some stuff we need to do was in quarantine when the pandemic happened.
Sure.
They're sending us YouTube videos and stuff of their workouts of the day and stuff like that. And then they shipped us out a bunch of resistance bands and cones and would send us videos on different drills we could do. But go
what
ahead.
What was that like for you with shutdown and everything? Like, did you play during that, or and how is it like, you know, communicating with the coaches? Because I've seen stuff and read stuff about, like, you know, these big Zoom meetings with 10 different guys, and they're trying to walk through plays and kind of watch film through Zoom, and it looked like a fucking nightmare. But what was your situation like with all that?
Yeah, Zoom sucked for sure. I couldn't stand it.
Sure.
So we got sent home. We were in the middle of spring practice. We were practicing every other day for like 2 or 3 months. And then it was right before our spring break. So we went on spring break, and then they called and said, you probably don't want to come back for a couple weeks or 2 weeks. And so we would meet on Zoom every day to watch film on our opponents we were playing that upcoming fall. It just was so different. I'm used to being hands-on right in front of the projector screen, watching the film, taking notes. It was just a big difference doing it at home.
Yeah, I think that most people went through a period of like, oh, this won't last for very long. And then it like hits the realization, like, man, I'm going to be doing Zoom meetings for the foreseeable future. During that time, did you, did you sit back on your heels at all? Did you use it to, as like a recoup, or are you like, you seem like the type of guy that's just go, go, go. Like you want to fucking like continue trying to train and get going and get workouts in.
Yeah, for sure. I was, when I was back home, I went over to my old personal trainer that I went to. He's a Nike, like one of the combine trainers, and he does it all. Weights, conditioning, change of direction drills. He's a guy I went to all high school. So I got to go train with him for really every day for the entire lockdown. So it was good. We got up and we would train at 6 a.m. every day. And then in the afternoon, I'd have a little break. I'd get on my Zoom class. And then that afternoon, I'd go over to this massive hill right over by my house. And I'd just go do sprints for an hour or two.
See, that's the shit that you can't fucking teach somebody, dude. Like that mindset where it's just like, yeah, I'll do this, and then I'll go work out again and I'll do it again. Like, I feel like a lot of people miss all those little things, you know, like what it takes to get to the level that you're at. It's like, it doesn't happen on accident. Like, it's a lot of like long days, lonely nights, as cliche as that sounds, like doing the extra work. For you, like personally, what is your motivation with that sort of stuff? What kind of keeps you going? Is it just you want to fucking win? Is it, you know, like, is it something that you feel like you have to keep moving, like a mental health thing, or how is it for you? Like, what's the motivating factors for you when you are in that, like in a situation like that, where it's like, nobody's watching. No one's going to know if you do those fucking sprints. No one's going to know how hard you attack that situation. What motivates you to do that extra stuff?
I'd say probably the biggest thing in my head is when I'm getting up in the morning, I'm just like, I'm trying to picture is that no one else is doing it. So that's kind of my motivation, is like, I got all my competition. I've got to go and start the day off winning. I'd say that's probably the biggest motivation, is just trying to outwork the competition and hope it translates over to the season. And we can win there too.
Yeah, I love, dude. I fucking love that. It's anytime I talk to, guys at a high level, you guys all have like this same sort of attitude, where it's just like most people would have to like sit there and like think on that question, and oh, I don't really know. Like, I guess I'm motivated. You're just like, no, I think my motivation's just like I want to do better and more than the next guy, and that to me is like so fucking sick. How natural that comes to you. Is there, so this is kind of a weird question, I'm going to ask it though. Is there like, are you at a point where like, could you go to the next level? Are you good enough to go to the next level? Is that something you're striving for? Or are you a guy that just, that knows that, you know, this is sort of the last couple of years you're going to get to play competitive ball? Or how does that work with football too? Like, you know, I'm ignorant to it. So if it's a stupid question, excuse me, but, what's that look like for you for like future in the game?
Yeah, it's definitely something I'm striving for, is to get the opportunity to go play at the next level. And I think I just got to take it one day at a time and stack good days on good days and put it on the film. Cause at the end of the day, that's really what matters most, is what you do on Saturday nights and what you put on film.
Yeah. So that's like definitely like something that you're trying to do is to get to that next level. Is that, you know, obviously it's a stupid question to say, is that difficult to get to the next level? Obviously it is, but, is that something that you've seen other guys do? So you kind of have a blueprint of what it takes.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think, the guy in front of me right now, it definitely starts with him. He's a perfect example. He's someone that definitely could have gone to the next level after his fourth year, but he's decided to stay for two extra years, which physically and mentally is tough as hell to do. So I really respect him for that. But yeah, having someone like him in front of me, where he's fully capable of going to the NFL, it just goes to show me that it's a process in order to get to the next level. There's a lot to learn, and you're not ever going to really know everything 100%. So being more developed and more well-rounded in your craft and everything you do on the field, that helps. So being as ready as I can be, yeah, that'll help.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love that attitude. And again, you're bringing up the guy in front of you and saying good stuff about, I love that, dude. That's such a cool outlook. How about, like, let's talk about like social media and where you're at with that. Obviously, like, that can be a totally awesome thing, and it can be a total shit show at times, obviously. Being someone who's in the spotlight a little, you know, you're playing on a big team, playing big games, televised, all this stuff. Have you had to deal with any sort of like social media bullshit where people are running their mouths or whatever, or are you more stay away from that stuff? I know a lot of guys playing college ball or playing college athletics, like, kind of stay away from the social media stuff. How does that all work for you?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I had to deal with in the past. I think I'm only on Instagram right now, but I used to have a Twitter, and I got rid of it like a year and a half, 2 years ago. Just from seeing bad stuff on there, people just telling me basically telling me what to do. And then running their mouth talking shit at the same time. It's just something I didn't really like seeing all the time. So I was just like, man, I don't need to keep looking at this. It's not going to affect how I play or anything like that. It's just stuff to get in my head. So I was like, I need to just cut it out.
Sure. Yeah. And I feel like more and more people are going, especially like the Twitter, because Twitter seems to, I'm not on there, but it seems like that shit gets fucking wild. With people just go flying off the handle. It seems that that's a common step that people who are successful take, where they either delete some of the social media stuff or they just like refuse to read the comments. You know, I've had a few situations in my powerlifting career where, you know, have squats that get passed that might not be the deepest of squats and have a bunch of people talk a bunch of shit. And I got sucked into it in the past where it became this big negative thing. Right. You know what I mean? And then you're thinking about it and it's like, man, last I checked, I didn't start lifting weights to impress anybody else. I'm doing this for myself. I'm doing this for my own reasons. Did it take having that, like, sort of some negative experiences, for you to just say like, fuck this, like, I don't need it. And I'm not going to read it.
Yeah, 100%. And it's coming from people that don't ever, you know, they're on the couch or they're just they're just sitting at home and just running their mouth because they feel that they're so tough and they can say whatever they want to say. But in reality, they would never say it to my face or anything like that. So, yeah, I think like there'd be games like last year or 2 years ago, and I would have what I would think was a great game. I'm grading out well. Having a bunch of positives, and then I make one bad play, and they're going to say is stuff about that one bad play, and they're not going to let it go. And it would drive me crazy seeing stuff like that. I'm like, damn, I thought I had a good game, and all these people are saying this stuff. And I'm like, then I had to realize, I was like, I'm not really playing for these people, and they can go, you know, piss off. So I'm moving on. And, that was eventually what I did. And I just said to hell with Twitter, and, I moved on from it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I've heard that, and I've experienced that, where it's like, you could have 100 people saying you did awesome, and there'll be one little weasel saying like, well, I think that you did shitty. And that's the thing that you end up focusing on when it's all in front of you. I think it's just human nature sometimes. So removing yourself, you know, is the best option with that. And I respect that, man, because I know there's a lot of pressure to be on social media and interacting with people and doing all that stuff. So stepping away from it might not always be the easiest thing, but I respect that, where it's like, man, I'm done with this shit. I don't need the negativity. Do you do anything as far as mental preparation? Do you read, do you meditate, yoga, whatever? Do you do stuff that is specifically for your mental game, or is it just the routine of getting ready that kind of helps you with all that?
Yeah, I like to read a good bit. I've got a bunch of books here. The most recent book I've been reading is Embrace the Suck by Brent Gleason, who was a Navy SEAL and SEAL Team 5. Okay. He sent out books to all our linebackers back in August during camp. So that was in kind of the heat and the grit of our season when our team's being built and we're going full pads every day in August and it's 100-something degrees outside and we're all just like, damn, like this kind of sucks. But reading something that helps calm me down and just helps like dial me in, and I like to take notes on reading. I just like to take notes in general, whether it's film, if it's a class, if it's a book, any information I can learn, and then to look back and reflect on the notes is something that I can always have. So that's all good. And then the routine too. I like sticking to a routine, particularly during game weeks.
Okay.
Just doing the same thing Thursday on to kick off. As far as like, you know, like what I'm listening to, like the stuff I'm doing at night. If I gotta put the phone down and it's because it's 11:30 or midnight and I gotta be up at 6, it's just something I gotta do. So the routine's something that I like too.
Yeah, are you a superstitious guy?
I'd probably say so.
Do you have any? I'm like crazy superstitious. It used to be like fucking wild when I was playing hockey still, and even into some of my powerlifting stuff, I've gotten real superstitious in the past. Do you have any like? You don't have to share anything too personal, but do you have any like things that are like it's like a little quirk that you have to do? Tap your helmet 3 times, or give a certain guy dabs, or whatever. Like, do you have like anything kind of quirky like that you do before every game?
So I drink beet juice before, like 30 minutes before we go out to warm up.
No shit.
It tastes horrible. I cannot stand it. It tastes like shit. I hate it. But it's something our nutritionists tell me it's something that'll help me breathe, and it'll keep blood and oxygen pumping the right way. So if they're saying it's going to help, then I'm just going to drink it. That's one for sure. Another one is probably the eye black.
I love that.
When I put on the eye black and the war paint, that's mentally to me, that's when I know it's time to go.
Yeah. Is that like the, you know, the switch of the, you know, the flip of the switch right there? Like when you're putting on, you know, are you talking about like the black stuff under your eye and all that?
Yep. Yeah. So, I think my switch is flipped that morning when I wake up, but then when it's getting closer to kickoff and I start putting the war paint on, that's when I'm like, don't talk to me. Like we got a job to do. And you know, if you mess with me too much, I might come after you, even if you're on my team.
I love that. That's so sick. The superstition thing is funny because everybody's got their own little things. I had the same like Under Armour stuff that I wore under my equipment that I'd wear the same one until I lost, and then I would change it. And it's always interesting hearing it, different things. And I'm a big routine guy myself, like definitely like to stay in a rhythm. It makes discipline easier when it's just part of what you're doing. It's like I get up, I brush my teeth, I do my meditation, I start my day or whatever, you know? And it seems that most successful people have that to some degree. So, hey, we're rounding out about 45 minutes here. And I ask the same question at the end of every podcast. It's a little bit of a loaded question, but I think personal development is very important. And I think that everyone should be growing and, you know, if you're the same person now you were last year, then you're missing something, because we should always be getting better or evolving or whatever. So, you know, you've played at a very high level, had some injuries, ups and downs, you know, had the classic oh shit moment, all that stuff. If you could go back in time to, you know, when you were, you know, a young man, like what's some advice you wish you had or something you would tell yourself when you were younger that you wish you knew then? Either football related, training related, or just life in general?
So I think my answer to that would be something that Coach Sweeney, our head coach, always tells us, If I could go back, I'd go to when I'm in high school, just transitioning into college, and I don't really know what to expect, but it'd be about the upcoming adversity that I'd have throughout my college career. But I would say that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it.
Oh, that's fucking good, man. Ain't that the truth? That's so good. Yeah, it's because the bullshit's going to happen to everybody. It's right. Like life is imperfect and shit happens. And it really is how you manage that stress. And I'm sure there's a certain percentage of people that would have had your injuries and said, fuck it. And so it is more. And those people like don't get to have the glory that you have in your future and have had so far. So that's really cool to hear, man, because I can tell that you live by that and you're not just like saying the words. So that's really cool. Well, hey, man, I want to thank you for spending the time with me. I know you're super busy and, so I really appreciate you taking this time out of your evening after a busy day to chat with me. Do you want to give out, I know we just talked about social media, but do you want to give out your Instagram so people can follow you there and kind of follow along through your journey?
Yeah. So my Instagram, the handle is at Jake Venables _ Venables, VENABLES, Jake Venables _.
Excellent. Excellent. And so make sure you follow him. You have a very crisp and clean looking Instagram, I might say.
appreciate it.
It looks fucking pro, dude. So, well, thanks again for being on. Hey guys, that's all we got for today. If you want to follow me, my personal page is AnthonyCW13. The trigger warning page is trigger_warning_conjugate for all of your snapback mental Monday needs. That's all we got for today. Thanks again for listening to the TWC Stay Hated podcast. And as always, stay hated, motherfuckers.